Welcome to the Fully Express Podcast.
We're your hosts, Karenna and Samantha.
This show is your permission slip to stop holding back. Here, we talk about what it really means to live unapologetically you in your relationships, your business, and your everyday life.
We believe the most magnetic version of you is rooted in self-expression, honesty, vulnerability, and showing up fully as you are. When you own that, you naturally attract the people, the opportunities, and the life that is meant for you.
Hi, welcome back to another episode. We're so excited to have you here.
Oh, you guys, we have an episode with one of our dear friends, Jessica Brugio, that I personally got to meet at the Like-Minded OC group in Orange County, which is a group for female founders, short little plug. But in our conversation with Jessica, we really got to talk deeply about her evolution in entrepreneurship. And if you are someone that is just starting or you're in it, you're going to want to listen to this episode because she really walks through her transformation, what it really looked like to step into becoming more visible online and really owning your authenticity.
Jessica is a business and wellness mentor, podcast strategist, and founder of Creative House SD. She's the host of Unscripted, a podcast that focuses on real conversations around business, growth, and personal development. She has over 25 years in the beauty and wellness industry and is a sought-after voice in personal branding and podcasting. Through her mentorship platform, the Unscripted Network, she helps women launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts without doing it alone. She's also expanding her mission through Scene, a new brand experience designed to help women feel truly visible in their content and leadership.
Enjoy.
Hi, Jessica. Thank you so much for being here today.
I am so excited. This is awesome.
So happy to have you.
Are we going to give the backstory that we are all San Diegans and we're here in Arizona recording?
Literally.
I know. I think
how
it's
funny
best.
Is that?
It's amazing.
The best. Literally. I was like, we could have done this in San Diego or Orange County or anywhere else.
It wouldn't have been as fun.
Yeah.
But it's perfect.
Yeah. We love a destination podcast.
We make that a thing.
Yeah. So I think we want to start by talking about like how you got into where you are now, because you didn't start here. So can you give us a little backstory of you have a podcast, you're speaking about fullest expression, very similar to our energy and what we talk about. What brought you to that point?
Well, it was women like you who were sitting in my chair. I was a hairdresser for 25 plus years. I owned a salon for a short while, and it really occurred to me that I could make such a bigger impact if I could have deeper conversations more frequently with people rather than every like 6 to 8 months. But it started behind the chair. Having these thoughtful conversations with women and really connecting with them. Yes, they left with pretty hair, yep. But often that wasn't enough. They'd get up, they'd look in the mirror, and they'd still pick something that they didn't like. Oh my God, my eyes. Oh my God, my hair. Oh my God, my skin. Like, even if they were happy with what they were leaving with, there was something deeper always there. Mm. And I think behind the chair, it really, I don't know if it's looking in the mirror or if it's the connection piece where we're touching each other throughout the appointment, but it just really brings out the most vulnerable parts of people. Me too, for myself. And, you know, fast forward, I was able to parlay the clients that were behind the chair into the gym as I started to get really fit and get into bodybuilding competitions in my late 20s. I had been an athlete growing up and kind of was like craving something that would be competitive and like push me, but then I didn't have to join a team. I could kind of do it on my own. And so my clients started to see me get more and more shape. And so they were asking questions. So I was like, well, if you want to, I could start training you. So I got my certification, brought those clients with me into the gym. Then those conversations go even deeper, right? Mm. About body image and about how they feel about themselves, why they don't feel worthy to eat healthy or to lose the weight. All of the things that sometimes we touched on behind the chair, but didn't really get to the depths of it. So I really started to feel like I had experience in helping women move through either a pivot, a pain point, breakthroughs, whatever that looked like. I didn't realize that I was building that skill set the whole time. And so as it would have it, I joined a business mastermind with my mentor, Lori Harder at the time, who I had been involved with fitness for the longest time. We had hosted some fitness camps for Strong Fitness Magazine on a whim. I went to a camp, because I had met a girl when I was competing and she started these camps with, his name is Paul Busetta. He's the chief photographer for Strong Fitness Magazine. Mm. Shout out to Paul. And she did these camps for a little while. Lori was one of the speakers at them. We became friends. And then she invited me to her Bliss Project, mm-hmm. which was her large scale women's event. I had never been to anything like that before. And so that was my first like awakening to like what these in-person events looked and felt like. I went by myself, sat in the back of the room and thought, I guess I don't know anything about myself. In the sense of like, what do I want? What am I here for? You know, what are my 5-year goals? why are these women crying? Do they not have friends? Like, I couldn't connect on so many levels, but then I left with so many questions. And so because of that, I started to get more curious. And then all of a sudden, her husband launched a mastermind called Fast Foundations. Mm-hmm. And it was a business mastermind for anybody looking to scale their online business, which I didn't have at the time. But I joined that mastermind because I had watched them document their process of joining masterminds and what that looked like for them, both personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, I love them. I love their lifestyle. I love what they're emulating. I wonder what a mastermind could do for me. Mm-hmm. Messaged them both separately and was like, hey, I know this. I don't really fit the criteria, but like, would you let me sneak in? And they were like, yeah, we love you. And we know that maybe you're not ready for this right now, but we know that masterminds have changed our lives. So all we say, get in the room. Obviously, they're good salespeople too, but you know that feeling of energy exchange where
feels genuine and authentic.
As soon as I swiped the credit card, I was like, yes. Like, I felt like a full body. I made the right decision. And I think when you pay a premium for something, you really feel invested.
100%.
And I was super excited because it was something I had never done before. So I kind of had no expectations, which is a really great place to be. And I just had all the hope in the world that I'd figure something new out. I was at the peak of my career financially as far as like working at the salon I was at. I still hadn't opened my own salon yet. But during that 6-month mastermind with them, so much shifted for me. My dream salon space fell in my lap. I was able to open that within like 6 weeks of signing the contract. And then 6 months later, COVID happened. Mm. But in between those few months, I launched my own community for hairdressers. And we started having these brunches. I created merch called the Beauty Inspires Beauty merch. So they were these cute sweaters and jackets. And I had these mugs and journals. And was really getting into like the holistic business strategy life side of it versus like, I'm just a hairdresser. As many of us call ourselves, if we've ever been in I'm just a lawyer, I'm just a mom, I'm just whatever. You're labeled as that. And that served me for a really long time to just be one thing because I have pretty heavy ADHD. So I had no idea how good I had it doing one thing.
Right.
But long story long, this totally rocked my world in the craziest ways because once the salon was closed, I felt prepared to like take the next step, which was to launch my podcast.
That's awesome.
And so Chris and Lori, watching them go first, watching many other people like Lindsay Schwartz and a handful of other people in the online space start a podcast to create visibility so that people knew who they were, right? You're adding value, but you're also inviting people in to get to know you. And so as people are listening to our show right now, listening to you guys, they're here for you, but they're also here to get your perspective, to learn from you, to connect with you.
Yeah.
And there's no other platform like it. So that's why I've become obsessed with podcasting.
Yeah.
And I was terrible at first because I love to talk, but also I get really nervous and I would get really like in my own way. I couldn't finish a sentence. I couldn't land a plane. I was like all over the place, let alone hosting. So I started off with guest interviews. Those went really, really well until I got brave enough to start doing some solo episodes. Chris came on the podcast and as my mentor, I asked him at the end of the podcast off camera, I said, you know, I would really love to do some sort of certification with you, like a coaching certification. Do you offer that? And he's like, no, we don't, but we actually just hired coaches inside the mastermind now. So these rounds have them. Would you like to be a coach? And so that was my first opportunity.
Like you actually coaching people?
Yes.
Nice.
So they added support coaching into the mastermind. So they did their weekly calls, but then also everybody got these monthly calls in addition, which they didn't have on the round I was in. So I was like, oh my gosh, like my first opportunity, my first coaching opportunity. And then I was so overwhelmed, like, how am I going to be a Chris Harder? And he was like, you don't have to be me. You get to bring your special sauce. You've been through the program. So I think sometimes we get in our own way because we don't feel qualified to do something. But I realized, yes, I had gone through the program. Yes, I knew what it was like to do the scary investment. And oh my gosh, look at all the cool things that have happened since I said yes to that in 6 months.
So let's talk about your yeses.
I know.
Because that was so much. I feel like I want to go back to where you said yes the first time. Because it feels like you said yes the first time to like this new thing, this new way of being things. But then you also like have this energy about you of like putting yourself out there and asking for what you want. Can you talk a little bit about like how do you do that? What invites you to do that?
Well, I'm a projector. So if you follow anything on the human design, you know that projectors just like know things.
I'm a projector as well.
Yeah. And so you know that maybe early on, it's always not as received because sometimes you say things because you know it, but you don't know why you know it. And when you're younger, it comes off kind of as like a little miss know-it-all or she thinks she knows everything. And I'm like, I literally don't know. I either just learned it, read it, heard it, and shared it. Or I feel like it's something like I'm supposed to tell you.
Yeah, it's innately in you.
Yes.
Do like you know what your authority is?
Your intuition.
You don't know if you're already. Okay.
So I feel like because of that, I've always been okay with a no, if you will. So like putting myself in the room and being like, hey, can I come? Hey, what are you guys doing? You know, I used to feel left out. And then I thought, well, they're not going to know you want to be invited unless you tell them you want to be invited.
Yeah. Well, this is so great that you're pulling this up, because a lot of like the human design world, I'm not an expert in human design at all, but as projectors or as most people, like they're waiting to be invited.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, and there's this like thing, and especially as a projector, like you have to wait for the invitation. The invitation will come. But there is this essence of like, well, you still need to become more visible. You need to be seen. You got to share with people, like, what do I like? What do I want? Do I want this thing? Do I not want this thing? And also sharing who you are so they can think about you for those invitations.
Yes.
And it sounds like you did that a little bit with Chris Harder as you were telling your own story. You're like, do you have a coaching certification? Can I do this? He's like, actually, no, but I have this. Do you want to do that? He would have never known if you wanted to become a coach or even just get certified as a coach or participate as a coach unless you asked for it.
Nope. And he never would have offered me that if I hadn't gone through his program and he'd gotten to know me, seen me do what I did with Lori for the years prior to that. So it's like the seeds that you plant are the fruit that gets to be buried later. You don't always know when that tree is going to bear fruit, but when it does, you're often like, I can see how that happened. Cause had I not done X, Y, and Z, I would have never been presented with that opportunity, nor maybe would I have felt ready or qualified or all of that.
Yeah.
So
I sound like it sounds like I'm listening to myself.
Yeah. I know, I love it.
I'm like, I tell this to everyone. I was like, you don't realize it now, but it happens because you put this, this, and that, and it leads to the next thing, and it leads to the next thing. So keep going.
Yes. Yeah.
So good.
Well, Jen Gottlieb's so funny because she tells the Steve Jobs quote of, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect the dots looking back. Yeah. And I'm like, as women, for one, we hate that. I want to know the exact plan. I want to know it's going to work out. And I want to know every detail before I say yes to it.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, I'm like, let's see where this goes. And my partner's a generator. So he's just like all everywhere. And I'm like, oh my God. And as a mom, I'm like,
you're going to generator too.
So funny. It's a good mix. It's a tough mix, but it's a good one. But like as projectors, I feel like we always want to be invited, but we don't always want to go. I feel like
you just want the invitation.
Yes. I want to know that you want me there, but I probably won't come, or I'm going to leave early and you're never going to know I left.
Literally.
Irish exit.
I'll leave a card or note or a gift or something. But I just think like saying yes to certain things only gives you the answers that you're seeking. So if we say no to everything, you're never going to know. And if you don't kind of start to get yourself in certain rooms, you won't know where your people are, mm-hmm. and you won't know what to connect with. And so when I got into the quote unquote, right, coaching space overnight, I got handed 25 clients, basically. I had to see 25 clients a month for 30 minute calls. So I had to figure out my schedule, line that up, push other things out, say no to some hair clients so I could start to weave this in. And it was the first time I was able to like work from home. And I was like, oh my God, I'd always idolized.
You're like, this is amazing.
Oh, I always thought it was going to be the best. I am not a work from home girly.
Interesting.
Okay. I don't do really well from home. I can do some stuff from home, but I need to be in a physical space that doesn't allow for me to turn around and do the laundry or get distracted or, oh, it's sunny out. I'm going to go for a walk because that's healthy for me.
Right.
Right. So there was like a whole year in there where I felt like I was being productive, but I think I was just really procrastinating and getting in my own way. And
what did that look like?
Going for walks when it was sunny, thinking like that was good for my mental health and I was taking a break versus you really need to write these three emails and record a podcast, like sit down and do the work. But because I was now really my own boss and I didn't have client after client on a schedule, I could, I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, that doesn't really need to get done. Or nobody cares if I don't put an episode out this week. It started to shift a lot. And I started to really question like, is this a me thing? Is this like, am I giving myself too much room? And it's something I notice a lot with a lot of clients of mine who have pivoted from the corporate space into what we call now true entrepreneurship of creating your own schedule, time freedom, being able to choose what you want to say yes to. We can get into a lot of that. But for me, I was like, you need to treat this like a business in every aspect.
I could totally relate to that. I'm an entrepreneur outside of this too. And I realized because we recently moved that I was working from my home and I was always distracted. Like it was really hard to work in my studio. And now that I don't live there, when I go there, I'm in my studio. Like I want to work. I have that dedicated time because I know that I'm there just to do that. Yep. And I think that is a lesson I've had to learn as I've switched from one career to another within entrepreneurship, because before I was a Pilates instructor for 10, 13, 14 years, and I was teaching clients at a studio one-on-one. And so I always had a place to work. I never really thought about that, but I was creating structure for myself.
With a set schedule. Yes. If you didn't show up, they wouldn't have a teacher.
Exactly. Yeah, and now I'm a jeweler, so it's a lot different because I have to be the one that's like, oh, you got to get this project done. You have to show up. You have to do this. You have to draw the commission. Yeah, you have to deliver the product. And I'm like, oh, I'm over here like sitting in the sun in the backyard or, you know, doing the laundry or doing something else. And so now that I've given myself that dedicated studio time, I'm like, oh, wow, I'm so much more productive. I'm actually doing the things. That makes so much sense that that didn't resonate with you. And I think that is a very big challenge for people who leave even the corporate world and come to entrepreneurship. We have to set your own schedule.
Yeah.
The question I was going to ask, have you ever hit burnout?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about that. Because as you're talking about things, right? Like,
are you feeling overwhelmed as I'm talking?
Just a little bit. No, just because I went through my own journey of burnout, and I am definitely someone that is stuck to a schedule, commits to my calendar, I get stuff done.
She's very good at it.
I now speak on overcoming burnout, and so I realized I was, like, completely dishonoring my capacity. But now I'm in the season of, like, pushing and edging my capacity. And so I think in entrepreneurship or anyone that's, like, fulfilling their purpose or whatever they want, they'd start to find that balance between, like, what works for them, but also not necessarily being just a soft girl or doing the healthy things just to take care of yourself. It's like, what does it look like to actually get things done? So I'm so curious, what was your journey in navigating the, I'm putting myself out there, I'm doing all the things, I'm still executing on projects, committing to clients, and showing up and taking care of myself?
Well, I think it comes in a couple different fashions because I've had different careers, right? So I think when projectors are lit up, nothing feels like work. Mm-hmm. I think it's like that for most of the different designs. If we are lit up by it, totally. We will go, right?
Absolutely.
I think that goes across the board. But with that being said, a lot of times your day-to-day doesn't feel exciting and so glamorous, right? And so when I was trying to edge out, I remember my mom saying, I think you're just bored. Mm-hmm. And she meant with doing hair. And I said, it's not that I'm bored. It's that I know I'm meant to do more. Mm-hmm. And so the burnout came from having to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And we'll just use the physical, like highlighting every day, same thing, same thing, same thing. And though I could shift conversations and have like a different impact maybe with that client, I still knew my potential wasn't being met in the sense of like scale and that there was just more in there. Like it always starts off with like a little voice and then she starts yelling at you and then she starts screaming at you. And that can come in the form of like physical pain, your hair falling out, gaining weight, acne, aggressiveness, depression, anxiety. And so any of those symptoms to me are signs of burnout. It's not just like one day you wake up and you're like, I'm burnt out. Like doesn't come that clearly.
Little signs.
And most of us brush it off, go have another coffee, go for a hard workout, sleep in, smoke a cig, do whatever you do to like numb out. And then we keep it moving because we don't usually have a choice or we don't give ourselves an option for a choice. Absolutely. Projectors love systems. And so if you can get a system or a structure down and you can master something, then you're good. And so when I look back at my hairdressing career, I was like, no wonder I did so well because I did one thing. I focused only on that. And I grew that business to multiple six figures, super easy in my early 20s. And I sustained that for many, many years. And it wasn't until I kind of saw what everyone else was doing. Hello, social media. Thank you for both ruining and also amplifying my life at the same time.
Literally.
You're like, thanks for the invitation and for making me question everything.
That's what growth looks like that. It goes this way and that way. You can't know this only literally this way without knowing that way.
Like, what was the in-between like, though? Like, what did it feel like to know you were going from something you were so good at, you excelled at, to this new thing that was, like, really hitting your edge? Like, is that where the burnout hit in between there? Like, how did you navigate going from hair to, like, coaching? I mean, that's, like, a drastic shift in what you were doing. I mean, you were coaching people, I'm sure, in the chair, too, really. That's, like, what
hair skill set, for sure. But what was the listening to the more is what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think there were little pockets of burnout throughout my hair career, and that's when I shifted, like, where I worked, my environment. So different salon spaces gave me different energy. Mm-hmm. So I was in a really big salon when I started. I moved to another really big salon after that, and then an even bigger salon in the middle, and that served me really well till I had my son. So as we are in different seasons and priorities are different, we prioritize work or family or yourself, whatever that looks like. And so when I could no longer work 9 to 9, 6 days a week, I had to work, you know, my 3 days, I could get only daycare these certain days, I had to shift everything. And so when I tried to do it all, that's when I felt my first little glitch of burnout. And I'm like, you have to prioritize. What's more important? Do you want to work so much so that he goes to daycare all day? Or do you want to miss this time? Like, I had to really sit with myself and ask, like, what kind of life do I want to have? Mm-hmm. What do we want to provide here? What do we need? And then that's when we kind of, you know, course corrected. I had to let go of the personal training clients in the morning because I couldn't get up that early anymore. And then I had to really figure out my work schedule, and I dropped down to 3 days. So I cut out weekends, which felt overwhelming at the time. So for me, overwhelm feels like burnout, mm-hmm. and was really able to enjoy being a mom when he was little. So that changed everything. So that was the first kind of bubble of burnout that I quickly got myself out of. It was hard because it cut my income almost in half. But what it did was also I, you know, figured out how to spend less and to do things that were free, like go to the beach, go to the park, so you can just adjust.
Yeah.
Then as that time came and he went to school, I was like, okay, let's go all in again. Mm. And so that's when, you know, the mastermind popped up. I think he, at this point, fast forward 7, 8 years old, I was missing a lot of stuff still. And that's what really the pain point was for me to join the business mastermind, to see how else I could make money online versus being stuck behind a chair. Mm. Because I didn't mind being behind the chair. It wasn't that I didn't want to do it anymore, but I was like, could I make the same amount of money, if not more, you know, over the next 5, 10 years, but be more available to him now?
Yeah, and more efficiently.
And more, yeah. Right, yeah. Right, right. But it all comes with a double-edged sword too, because sometimes I need to be on my computer at home at night, which would used to be dedicated family time. Mm. I didn't used to have to look at my phone all the time. So again, there's always some light with some dark, and it's, the grass isn't always greener, but it gave me a different way to bring in income and to diversify my skill sets to do things that I love, so that I'd not burn out in any way, shape, or form anymore. But there was a point last year in September, I'd hit about 4 years with the podcast, that I started to feel burnout with the podcast. So burnout for me there looked like I didn't feel in alignment with the messaging of the podcast anymore. I didn't feel in alignment with who I was speaking to. I wasn't sure really what my offers were. And I was feeling very ungrounded, dysregulated from not having a physical space anymore. So we looked into getting a physical space again, and I opened up my Creative House SD, which is my, my creative playhouse now downtown in San Diego. And I have my podcast studio in there. I have 2 hair chairs in there, and I have a photography studio in there.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I have a little bit of everything. And when I walk in that space,
it's literally Jessica in a room.
It is. It literally is like my playground.
It is. That's
Jessica
amazing. In a room.
It's got beautiful windows and lighting and dark wood floors, and it's a 100-plus-year-old building, and there's energy of like downtown and this, and the noises and the smells, and it's great. And when I walk in, like I used to at the salon, game face goes on. We're working. When we leave, we lock the door. I get to go home, be mom, and like hopefully be done.
Yeah.
And so it's really helped me compartmentalize those different things, because as a woman, you know what our purse looks like, right? It's like full of all the things. I'm like, let's separate everything to see if we can kind of get it more organized and be good with what's good.
Yeah. What I'm hearing you speak, and just like reflecting this back to anyone that's listening, is like, you've gone through your experiences, and you won't experience until you, you won't know unless you experience it. And everyone thinks like, I'm going to have to figure it out and what's it going to look like.
Yeah.
You have basically designed your life based on like, well, let me try this on. Let me see what this looks like. Let me see what it looks like for me to be at home. Okay. What is that costing me with my child? And you're having these experiences that are, you're now are designing the way that you really want to live. And you're asking yourself more bigger questions as to what that is. And then secondly, I love that every single time that you've reached either this like edgy point or misalignment, you get curious as like, wait, what's really going on? What do I need to like re-spark my energy, to light me up, to reconnect me to my purpose? Is that fair?
Yeah. And it's interesting because you almost never know. And when I paused the podcast last September, I had no intention of like, okay, I'm restarting this exact date. Like, I'm going to give myself a couple weeks off. I had never taken a break. I felt very prideful that I hadn't. And I'm like, who are you worried is going to miss you? And if they do miss you, that's great. Maybe they'll message you and say, hey, where's your podcast?
I miss you.
Yeah. I miss you, because podcasting is very different than social media. We don't see the likes. We don't see the downloads. We don't see people's names. So I have no idea who the couple thousand people who are downloading the show, they don't often let you know that they've listened.
Right.
And so it's not the same validation that I was so used to getting behind the chair. Like, clients would walk in happy. They pay you. They're happy to pay you, tip you, pre-book their appointments. Like, I did not realize the validation and the love and all of the juiciness that came with doing things in person like that. And so I don't think I thought the podcast would replace that, but I didn't realize how much I missed that. And so when I thought I had to burn the boats and drop all my clients, which I did behind the chair about 2 years ago, I passed everybody off. And I was like, I think I need to be a person still with people. I don't know what that looks like. And I don't think I can do just like talk therapy type coaching. I feel like I need to physically create still.
Yeah.
So either I'm opening an art studio or I need to start painting hair again.
Yeah.
And so there were a handful of people who were still like, we'll come whenever you're open. And so I'm like, all right, let me throw a chair in here. All right, let me put let me put the shampoo bowl in. And so it just evolved into what it is now, because, you know, we are usually meant to create businesses. People are asking something of us. Totally. They see something in us that they want or desire. And so that's how we ended up where we are now. And so like having the podcast be on that break, it was the first time that I was able to go on a vacation with my fiance. I knew we were going to get engaged because we had made the ring with my friend. And so I was like, I want to fully be present and not feel like I have to post anything, that this is just like the first time in 4 years that we can just like be.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until somebody else asked me to be back on their show as a guest, like edge of December, I got off that episode with her and I'm like, I'm back. I just felt the energy because I had an opportunity to share. And then right away I hit record, recorded a solo, dropped it on the first of the year. And it's been, you know, full board ever since.
I have so many questions.
I know.
This is what happens. But the one question, I want to kind of tailor this a little bit because I know a little bit of history on your podcast. So when you first launched your podcast, it was one thing. And then you transitioned to Unscripted.
Yes.
Right? Can you tell us a little bit about that journey? Like, just like a little bit of like, you started as something and then you realized that there was more for you to express. What did that look like?
So Beauty Inspires Beauty was the name of the original podcast because during COVID we were closed. I had my studio space, my first salon, my little dream salon, and we were closed. And luckily I met somebody who was a videographer, much like your husband. And he was like, hey, I can help you with the setup. Like, let's just get started. He had known that I'd want to start a show. I had a mic for 2 years.
Wow.
Collecting dust. I had watched Lindsay, Lori, everybody start their show. But I was like, what do I have to talk about? Yeah, I wasn't playing down voice. The fact that I was just a hairdresser, but I just wasn't sure who I was going to be speaking to. Yeah. I knew enough about business to know like there should be some direction with it. It shouldn't just be a free for all. I didn't have a co-host at the time. Like, I literally think I could be a stand-up comedian, so I could just banter and talk shit all day and that'd be fine. But I was like, maybe you should have some purpose behind this. But we sat down, we started recording episodes with all the local hairdressers who had their salons closed. And I was like mad enough about our situation that it pushed me out of being scared to be like, Sherry, tell me about how you got into business and like, what are you doing with your team right now? And then it was like, even, how'd you get into the beauty industry? Mm-hmm. How have you been so successful? Why do you have a 7-figure salon? And I'm like, oh, I'm nosy. I'm like, wait, no, I'm curious. Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah, what's the positive spin on? I get to just ask any questions I want. I'm like, this is my job. This is what I should have been doing my whole life. It's like I found my purpose and my passion in doing something, but I would have never known that if I hadn't taken the leap and done it really kind of awkwardly and weird. So we hit episode 40-ish or so. And I'm like, I'm really feeling called because like I said, I'd gone through that business mastermind, which had like 45 other people in different industries. Nobody else was a hairdresser or in the beauty industry. And I learned so much from them. And just the way we all spoke about entrepreneurship and marketing, I'm like, we're a lot more similar than I would give us credit for had I not been in this environment. I thought we were all so separate. We did things different. You know, and 20 years ago, we weren't sharing formulas. We weren't sharing all the things we share on social media now.
Right.
It was like, these are my clients. These are my formulas. I would never share. I mean, maybe if you paid me, which now people make money doing that, right? It's great. I love this for my industry. And let me just make it very clear. I think the beauty industry is one of the most amazing industries to be in because it is so life-giving. But with that being said, like, I still felt like, okay, we're all entrepreneurs, but I still feel like my message is meant for anybody who is either an early stage entrepreneur, getting into entrepreneurship, hasn't stepped into that, like, I am an entrepreneur energy. I want to speak to everybody. How do we rebrand this so I can bring them with us, like my current audience with me, but then also make this for everybody? And that's when I think I must have said the word Unscripted like 10 times to my management company. And they were like, okay, I think we need to change the name to Unscripted. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not SEO optimal. Like, no one's Googling that. No one's staying up at night worrying about being unscripted. She's like, you just got to own who you are and go for it.
Say that louder.
Yeah, so that's what literally. We did. And actually, I'm in the throes of a rebrand right now. And I'm having a very hard time because I get very attached to things. So I was very attached to Beauty Inspires Beauty. I had trademarked it. I had the merch. I had the brunches. I had all the things. And so when we switched over to Unscripted, I had to really embody, like, what does that word mean? And just, you know, rewriting your life, flipping the script. I'm going to be 45. So, like, that pivot in your life, like, whatever that looks like, becoming a mom, getting divorced, like, quitting your job, becoming an entrepreneur, it can mean so many things. And so it allowed for me to have so much more creative expression and freedom on the podcast. So that's what I was seeking. So I basically had to give it to myself.
I love what you said too, that you just had to own it, even though it wasn't SEO or any of those things. I think that tends to stop a lot of people because they're trying to do it like someone else did, or they're looking like you've actually said that a few times now, how you thought you had to be like somebody else. And then you came back to that conclusion of like, no, I just have to be me. Yeah. I think that's such a beautiful message for people. Cause I think it's easy to look at social media and think, well, they did it this way. And that's something we talk about a lot, is like, you could do it your own way. Yeah. You don't need to follow anyone else. And when you embody yourself, like you're so embodied in who you are, people are just drawn to you. You find your audience. You find the people are like, hell yeah, unscripted. I'm here for it. Yeah.
Literally. But I will say, for anybody who hasn't really found that version of themselves yet, mirroring somebody else's energy, if you are attracted to somebody's energy, the way they speak, the way they carry themselves, like, you can't aspire to live a life like somebody. And so I think it's very much a double-edged sword. It's not about copying. It's about figuring out what fits you, right? Like, that jacket might look good on somebody else, but it might not look good on you. And so you won't know till you try that on real quick. Mm-hmm. And so that's how these careers and these moves in the entrepreneurship space feel. You have to kind of try things on to see, right? Like, working from home worked until it didn't. And, you know, trying to be a little wannabe try on clothes influencer worked until I was like, I actually don't like doing these videos. I hate this. But I still watch those women, and I still wish I could just get dressed every day and like make money on the Like to Know It apps. Like, I would do that all day long. But yeah, why am I not doing it? Because I guess I don't really want to.
Yeah.
So I think for that, it's like, find people that you admire and aspire, consume their content until their content starts to make you feel some type of way, and then take that and make it your own. It's like when I taught the foundations of haircutting, there is a way to cut a straight line and then take it from there, right?
Yeah.
There's a way to formulate color and then go outside the box. So it's like, find your edge and then push it, you know, and see where you can create a lane of your own that's authentic to you. And as you grow, that will change and evolve. So if you want to change the name of your show, the bio of your Instagram, the description of what you're doing, like, that's what you get to do that.
This makes me think a lot about what Pam said in one of our workshops about borrowed confidence.
Ooh, I love that.
So she was just saying, like, we can do this with friends too. So think about, like, you have a friend that is so good at being direct and calling people out, but then you also have the friend that's going to dive deeper and go into the deeper conversation. So you borrow your friend's energies as a way to kind of step into the energy that you want to be. And so it's like borrowed confidence in that sense. And I think it's such great advice, especially as an early entrepreneur. I'm trying to think back to like where I was like, I want to be like this person. I want to be like that person. Who do I want to be? And I felt like, but then I also was struggling to be like, well, I got to be myself, because everyone says I have to be myself, you know? And I'm like, but I don't even know who I am. Yeah. In entrepreneurship at that time, I was like, well, I don't even know what I want to like. But I will say, you know, trying things on, doing the programs, like, you need the experience in order to know. And like, even in just business courses on how to do business, it's like, yes, now I feel like I'm in a place where we can make decisions and like have our own intuition and discernment on like, this is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't have come if it wasn't for the experience of trying something on first.
Yeah. How did you guys become partners in the podcast space?
So Corinna started the show originally on her own, and about a year, like, we became friends maybe 6 months into when you started it, or
eight months.
Yeah.
6 or 8 months.
And then I went to her 1 year podcast party, and then we were just like building our friendship, and she had mentioned she was looking for someone to do business with. And at the time, it was just not the right time. I think I was like, I'm starting this, you know, something else. And then maybe another 6 months passed, and we were like we went to a dance class. Is it when we went to the dance class?
Or yeah, we went to Madhouse.
Yeah, we went to Madhouse. We went to a dance class. And then we went and got coffee after, and we were just chatting, and I was telling her, like, I'm looking, I love being creative and making jewelry, and but I wanted something more. Like, I felt like I had more to share and more, basically your story.
She was looking for the
platform. Yeah, looking for the platform. And Corinna was like, do you want to do business together? And then, of course, the projector with all the programs, she sent me this beautiful list of questions that we had to sit and think about, like, all the things, does this make sense? And they're actually amazing questions. I've shared them with a lot of people on partnership and how we show up and where our weaknesses are and our strengths are. And we just fully aligned. Like, it just, it felt exactly like I was going to speak to this when you said, you know, it just felt like a yes when you signed up for that mentorship, and you were just, even though it was so much money, it was just like a full body yes. That's how I felt the second she asked me. And then
there was so much work, but it was full body yes. You didn't have to pay, but there was a lot of work.
There's no money, but
nothing's ever free.
There's sweat equity
somehow.
There's a lot of sweat equity, but I mean, honestly, like, I couldn't imagine not doing business together. It's so
crazy.
we just complement. I'm a manifesting generator, and I feel like we just complement each other in so many ways. And I'm so grateful for the systems and the programs that she brings. And yeah, I mean, I love my business, but I was looking for partnership too, and it just aligned.
Yeah. And had she never started the podcast, this would have never become a thing. And that's how, you know, those opportunities present themselves. You were brave enough to start, maybe not super clear on where you were going or what you were doing.
I needed to do it.
Yeah.
And it called in somebody else who was like, I see you. I like you. Like, I want to be friends with you. And that's how this stuff works.
Yeah.
Is like by putting yourself out there, which can feel really scary and vulnerable. And sometimes partnerships won't work out. There might be a day where one of you wakes up and it's like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Totally.
Or something else is getting my attention and I don't have time. And so I think having those hard conversations in the beginning when you start things, even with yourself, like, what if I decide to stop this? What's that going to look like? Am I taking people with me? Am I dropping off the face of the earth? Like, having kind of like a reverse engineer plan of where you want to go, but then also of like, am I going to allow myself to pivot, or am I going to beat myself up, burn the whole business down to the ground, and then, like, you know, go dark for 6 months?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in our story specifically, and as like a little string for everyone, like, you kind of know the thing that you want or need, right? I think a lot of the times it's like the shoulds or how it should look like, or like, especially when I had the podcast on my own, like, a part of me was like, yeah, I want to grow it by myself. I kind of had that attachment. I was like, that pride of like, I did this. I dropped an episode every single week, which I did, just like you. And so I kind of felt that energy, but there was also this deeper inner knowing. I was like, if I want to get to the place in business where I see it going, I can't do it alone. I had some stuff around like, I'm independent, I can figure this out, you know. I think a lot of, in the early stages of entrepreneurship, you kind of be like, well, I can do this on my own.
Well, do you think that was maybe a little precondition from like growing up, like if you want it done right, do it yourself? Because my mom was very much like, no one's coming to save you. If you want it done right, do yours.
It was all that, for sure. And I think me and my sister both have that in general in our own ways. But I would say in business, there was like this like voice in the back of my head. I was like, I don't want to do business alone. I want to invite someone in. And then the idea of inviting someone in, which we've talked about, was like nervous. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't get to just like pivot whenever I want to anymore. I can't just like make changes on the fly. I mean, she is very adaptable and very flexible, but it's no longer like the Karenna business, right? I can't just do whatever I want whenever. It's like, no, I had to bring her on board. And so I share that with like, the intuition led me to another growth edge in a way of like, we get to do this together. What does it look like to bring our visions together? What does it look like to create together, to own this together? But it wouldn't have come without the inner knowing of like, yeah, that's what I need to do. And I just had to get out of my own way. And so I want anyone that's listening to hear that is like, we already know.
Yeah.
You deeply do know.
Mm-hmm. You do.
And it's just a matter of saying yes to the thing. And it's also okay if you change your mind.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
We still have conversations all the time. Like, we're always checking back in. We're always like, does this feel good? How does this feel? Like, that's what do you think about this? Which I think is also the key. I think communication, like, we're both really strong communicators. I think that's also very important. But something you spoke to too is like, also there's parts like, we were just talking about something. She's like, I think I'm ready to let this go, but I don't know. I can feel myself holding on to it. I think that's all of us. Like, we hold on to something longer because we're just like, I put so much energy and time into this, you know? And when you let it go, whether you choose to or not, it doesn't matter. But like, if you do, it is a gift. Like, another door opens, another opportunity. But I think that's normal. Like, when you build something and you trademark it, or you have your attachment to and you have this vision, it does take time to pivot. It does take time to let it go. And I think that's something, you know, just listening to your journey is like, this is a years long journey. This is not like you did this in 2 years, you know?
No.
And I think people want the results immediately. And it's like, there's a lot of sweat equity that goes into it. There's a lot of dedication and holding the bigger vision and pivoting when you need to pivot. And I think that's really important for people to hear too, because we look at when people hit the success and we think, wow, look where they are. Like, even Lori Harder and her husband, like, they're blowing up. They're doing so well.
They've transitioned so much.
Yeah.
They've pivoted so many times.
And you see that, and you have to realize there was a whole journey that took them to that place. And I love that you're speaking to that, because that's where I think sometimes we forget to talk about, like, the struggle that comes and the sweat equity and all the time and energy you're putting into something before you get to that place where you're like, oh yeah, that's where I'm going.
That's the exact conversation her and I had on my podcast when Lori was on, was about this. And she must have been fired up that day, because she had like a little edge to her tone. She was like, this is the misconception people have with entrepreneurship, is they think it's going to be overnight or 6 months or a year, and they're really deeply disappointed because they have that crazy expectation that things are just going to pop off. And I kind of did too. I thought, oh, I'm here making X, I'm just going to make this like linear move.
You really think into like
Like, don't they know who I am? And I'm like, no, nobody knows who you are, girlfriend. Like, this crew knows who you are, but like, nobody else does.
Yeah, I'm like, unless you're a Nepo baby, like, you're putting in the sweat equity.
Yeah, you know? And I was somebody who I started in 1999 doing hair. That was like a long time ago. We did not have social, we did not have photos.
Yeah.
We did not demonstrate anything online, we did not document. So when I went right with my life, I had nothing to show who I was, why anybody should trust me. And so when I launched my first course program, like, nobody bought it because they didn't know who I was. They were like, why would I buy a mindset course from you? I don't know you. Who are you? You know? And so it took that time and getting in the DMs and showing up on social media and getting over the fear of talking to myself on my phone and speaking to her. Who was she? She was the hairdresser who was still, you know, unable to make six figures in her business. I'm like, I started with what I knew, right? But that conversation with Lori was like, she was like, it's a minimum of 5 years of trying to figure it out to find your place, then to establish any sort of expertise or authority so that people start to take you seriously, show up consistently, and people can see a track record that you are who you say you are.
Yeah.
And so that's what podcasting can really do. That's what your social media presence can do. You know, people think those sort of things are maybe a waste of time. They don't want to put the effort into the marketing on TikTok or wherever. But like, pick a lane or two and then move those people onto a list that you own, like your email list, nurture them, bring them into in-person community. If you feel like you're someone who needs that in-person connection and community, build local community, speak locally on your podcast. It's not about the numbers and the vanity metrics of like, oh, I'm a top 1% podcaster. It's the impact you're making on the show. Is it translating into clients and impact? And is it doing the thing you're hoping it's trying to do rather than, I'm not getting brand sponsors like Gary Vee, so I should just quit. You know, you got to figure out your place. Like, if you want to go that direction, there's a place for you and a path. If you want to create real impact one-on-one and you want to do the deeper work, it's not about big. It's about going deep and it's going, you know, really direct with who you want to help.
So something I want to bring up as you're talking about this, because you're talking about becoming more visible. So let's talk about what visibility actually means.
Yeah.
And also, I'd just love to know your relationship with becoming visible and feeling more visible. Like, what does it look like to become more seen, to put yourself out there?
So you're talking to the girl who never wore shorts growing up because my legs were so big. My mom told me it wasn't appropriate. I should wear skirts to my knees. I was this size, which I weighed like 145 pounds in junior high. So like, I was a bigger girl before being muscular was like in style. My era was like stick skinny, straight hair. I had curly, frizzy hair. I was a little thick. I had muscle. You know, I just all the way around physically was very uncomfortable.
I was the same.
Yeah. You know? And so moving forward,
all three of us,
that visibility, how much can you shrink yourself? How much smaller can you be? Right.
Literally.
Hiding in baggy clothes, making my hair super straight, just everything I could do physically to like hide.
I'm like, did you wear overalls? That was my look. The overalls.
I had baggy t-shirts. Cover everywhere.
Yeah.
The hair was slicked back.
Yeah. Or I'm like probably 10 years older than you guys. I was wearing like super baggy pants and dressing like a little tomboy because I was one, it was luckily in style. Now my kid wears the exact same clothes I used to wear.
It's come back around.
It has. Yeah. It's crazy. But with all of that, like, it took a lot for me to step out because finally, a couple years after high school, everyone started to like mature and they looked like a woman versus I always looked like that. And I just realized, okay, playing field's evened out a little bit here. I'd always been a little bit loud. We're Italian. So if you want to be heard in my family, you have to kind of shout. Like, all my cousins were all like yelling and screaming over each other. And so, but that's not normal. Like, in the main streets, like, you're not supposed to yell over your friends at dinner. You're supposed to let everybody talk. But as a projector, I always freaking had something to say. And so I was just yapping all the time. And then my friends would be like, did you have coffee today? They're like, Jesus, you know, I can't shut her up. So go figure, now I have a podcast and you can't get me to shut up, but it's okay because it's my platform. I can talk all I want. So it's crazy the things that you used to hide from that you wanted to feel like were so people judged you for now are my visibility, like, strengths and factors. But again, you don't see that until you start to put yourself out there and realize, oh, wow, people are attracted to the boldness of how I speak and how I do show up. Or I'll walk into a room first and say hello. Or I'm not afraid to, like, get all glammed up and show up in a cute outfit, even if it was, like, a catch. Like, I don't care. My mom at least taught me, like, you know, it's okay to be the best dressed person at the party. Who cares?
Yeah.
Don't hide. And so there were little things I picked up over the years that I think helped me along the way. But what I really noticed was, like, most people try to fit in. And as kids, all you want to do is fit in. You don't want to be the weirdo who's either too pretty or too ugly or too fat or too skinny. Like, you're getting picked on for something. Hair's too frizzy, like, whatever. Then as we become adult, it's like, well, I don't want to be like everybody else. So how do you make yourself unique? Well, if you have any unique qualities, like, you can play into those. I do like to talk. I do like to wear my hair crazy. I do like to be all glammed up. And so I started to lean into the gifts that I already naturally kind of had and liked about myself, but had always kind of hidden. And so those visibility pieces are what I watch my clients hide behind: old haircuts, old outfits, old ways of being, old ways of speaking about themselves, the jobs that they've been in, relationships. So it's those little bits of work that as we chip away as to why you're not showing up in your full authenticity, it's that word is such a buzzword because most people, like you said earlier, don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
So when we can peel back the conditioning of what we've been told we are, you're too loud, you're too this, you're too that, that's not appropriate. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't do that. It's like, well, what do I want to do? How do I want to act? What environment would support that? Being a hairdresser allowed me to express so much creative freedom, right? Mm-hmm. Like one day I could dress preppy. One day I could come in with black hair. The next day I could show up with my head shaved. People might look, but they would be like, yo, cool.
Yeah.
You know, have tattoos, all the things. And so for, you know, 15 years, I got to really figure out how I wanted to show up, whether that was just literally with the outfits or how I wanted to speak to my clients, what kind of clients I wanted to attract into my chair, because like attracts like, right? So if I had a shaved head, I was probably going to get the clients that wanted to like have crazy hair.
Yeah.
And so I realized quickly how much influence can have by the way you be attracting other people into literally. Your world, literally. Mm-hmm. So if you want to have that calm energy and you want to bring in clients that are ready to receive that, you have to represent that as your brand. Mm-hmm. And so all of a sudden you're like, oh, that is my brand. That is who I am. It's not about creating something. It's about becoming who you were always really meant to be, but you hid little parts because they were inappropriate or they didn't fit into wherever you were.
Literally, I think that what I was going to say is like, there is literally someone for everyone.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think about this with cars. Like, how, look how many brands of cars there are.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what kind of car people drive, but I'm not getting a Honda or like this. Yeah. I'm driven to the Audi, you know what I mean? I think like that for people too, right? So like there's your person out there. There's a whole group of community that like your energy the way that you are, and you're going to attract that exact group of community. And also once you express that, there's nothing like being around other people that are just like you
and that get you
or are craving to, are inspired by you. They're like,
appreciate your energy.
They're like, I admire who you've stepped into because I feel like I want to express that too.
Yeah.
And those are also the people you end up attracting too. They're like, I just love this about you. And you're like, wow, that was one thing I used to hate about myself.
Yeah.
You know, like I used to be picked on about that thing. And they're like, no, it's like my favorite thing about you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow. And I also love thinking about the opposite. Anything that I admire in someone else is usually what I have within myself. Mm-hmm. And the same thing with you. Like if there's people that you're on our podcast, like I admire something about you, right? The people that we call in are people that are similar energies and are on the same journeys, but you have to express yourself, be yourself, put that energy out there in order to call that in.
Yeah, two things. I told you guys I thought I was a stand-up comedian. So she referenced cars as like a thing. I always used to make the joke, one, we can make money doing anything, right? So when Literally. It comes to like, you guys brought up Madhouse. If you guys don't know, it's a dance studio, but like it's a fun dance studio. We'll just say that. And
it's sexy.
Yeah, it's a sexy. I always said it in the stripper world. I'm like, there's somebody for everybody. Yeah. So if you want to go make money, like, listen, anybody, there's somebody for everybody. So like, don't be too worried about being so different or the same. Like, show up in your own energy, dress how you want to dress, speak how you want to speak. You're going to find yourself in playing around with presenting yourself in different ways.
Yes.
And then you'll land on it and that'll feel really good. And you'll know that's where the burnout kind of goes away. That's where the overwhelm goes away, because you in your essence can show up, not be nervous when you get invited to a room to like podcast or to speak, because someone's just asking you to be you and you're oh,
and literally be different.
I can do that.
I'm like, be so different.
And also when you're in your confidence, you don't really care how anyone else perceives you. You're just like, you either get me or you don't get me. And that's okay. Like, you do you, I'll do me. And that's on them if they're judging you or feeling something about you. I think the older you get, the more you realize it's not about you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, how do you want to show yourself to the world? And everyone, there will always be people who are, I think, I love to say, like, if you're liked by everyone, you're not authentic. You're not really in your full self.
Probably
because
not.
You're always going to have people that aren't your vibe. We're all vibration. So you're going to attract, exactly as you said, your people, your vibration. And if you don't, then that's okay. That's for them to figure out, not for you to explain yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it probably means you haven't landed on the thing that makes you special. Because if everybody can kind of relate to you, I'm not saying that you need to be polarizing, but you've got to be a little contrarian to like get someone to understand why they need to be in your world, listen to your show, work with you, come to your events. Like, again, you being vanilla and being somewhere in between, we're not saying you have to be so wildly different and like do crazy things, but when you're in your essence and you're, it's like the weirdest thing in the online space, because as a hairdresser, when I went to beauty school, no one was like, oh, there's too many hairdressers, you shouldn't do that.
Right.
But in the online space, someone's like, oh, I'm opening a yoga studio, or I'm going to be an online yoga. And everyone's like, oh, it's really saturated industry. Maybe, oh, you're going to start a podcast? Everybody has a podcast. I'm like, no, they don't.
They say the same thing in the jewelry world too. They're like, there's so many jewelers. Good luck to you. Especially the people that like maybe clean the jewelry, or like more of the like task jobs versus designers or people who are actually doing it. They love to say that. Like, good luck to you. Like, there's, so, I just think, I'm like, that's a limiting belief.
So limiting. And F you.
Yeah, literally. I know.
Two of my really good friends, they're married, were both hairdressers, and they were both amazing hairdressers, and he started painting. He's super creative. He started in the golf world back in the day. This is like his journey. Mm-hmm. Golf, nerdy, tall guy, didn't know how to cut hair, saw there was a bunch of women in beauty school, went to beauty school, fell in love with one of his teachers, became obsessed with hair, went to all of the like strategic cutting classes, Vidal Sassoon, like spent thousands of dollars to be the best. Then parlayed that into art, went to London, traveled in Europe, met these guys that had this rad studio. So he saw all this art and he's like, so if I just slap some paint on that, these people are getting 20 to 30,000. What the hell am I doing haircuts for $100 for? Right. And at the time, $100 for a haircut's a lot.
Yeah.
Right. But we're grinding behind the chair. Even if you did 12, that's $1,200 for the day. So he did the simple math and was like, I can paint. He starts painting. His paintings now, we're talking, this is like a 6-year span. $25,000. He's getting shown in London. Wow. She decided to get into fine jewelry. She started having some issues with her wrist. Saw what her husband was doing and was like, what the F am I doing here still for?
Did she own Litton?
That's who made my ring. Yeah. This is Brooke Crace.
She also went to the same jewelry studio that I went to. I think we started at the same time. She went to, it was Whaley Studios now. It's like San Diego Jewelry Academy.
There you go. 6 degrees of separation. We know the same person we're talking. See, so this is what I'm talking about.
You're the second person that I've met that's she's made jewelry for that I had a conversation with. I have to meet her. I've never met her in person.
Oh my God, you love her. Yeah. She's the best. So this is what I'm talking about. And this is brand recognition. When people mention your name in rooms that you're not even in, like that's what your brand and your brand can do is your like story. People think of you when they think of pivots or moves or things that inspire them. And I have so many great people in my life like that. And what I was referring to earlier, when you're emulating or mirroring people, if at any point somebody's content starts to make you feel less than, or that you can't keep up, or you're not doing good enough, you can just, you don't have to unfollow them. Just go into the follow button and hit mute stories, mute the posts for as long as you need to. And I actually had to do that with a few of my mentors for a little while because I felt like I couldn't keep up and what I was doing wasn't good enough. And I'm like, you have control of that. And then someone showed me how to mute it. And I was like, this is amazing. So I muted like 20,
mute everyone.
20 people. Yeah, right? Because I needed to be in my own energy and be like, what do I want to be saying? What do I want to be creating? How do I want to be showing up? And so sometimes we have to go inward, like we already talked about.
Yeah.
But there is a season where we need to ingest, we need to learn, we need to consume. Yeah. And then we have to then integrate and do and become who we're meant to be. And then, you know.
And what you're speaking to too is like your idea of success for you is so different than what it is for someone else. So it's like there's no point in comparing because you're on your own path. And I think if you, like you spoke to earlier, if you're impacting one person, you're making a difference. That's, you don't know what that one person is going to go put into the world. And I feel like social media sometimes makes it feel like you should have 1 million followers or you should have all these people. But I think the people making the biggest impact are the ones with smaller followers who are interacting with their communities.
Yeah.
And you're not seeing what they're doing behind the scenes.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing. I think like, especially like, cause there's so many out there that have like maybe 100 people on their followers, but they've got communities, they're going to the networking events, they have relationships, they have friends, they're talking about their things, they're doing the things, whatever they're doing. So why are we comparing?
Yeah.
Because it's human nature.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's right.
To again, fit in. Yeah. You're taught as a society to fit in, not stick out. But like, that's where you got to hit the pause button sometimes when you're doing things out of integrity and realizing, do I even really want to do this? But a lot of times you won't know till you try it. So,
Or till you quiet the voices and then you tap into your own self.
Yes, that more so.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
So how do you do that? How does someone do that who's listening, who's like, okay, I'm listening to your three voices that's right now, lady. You. You know, but I think you guys have a very calming, grounding presence to it. For me, I go on clarity walks, which look like no phone. Mm-hmm. I make myself go for a walk. First 5-10 minutes, I'm like talking to myself, thinking about all the things. And then I get quiet. And it's like movie meditation for me. I will also go to yoga every single Friday morning, which I'm missing today because I'm in Arizona. But I go to the same yoga class every Friday, and it is like my weekly reset. I love the teacher that I go to. He's very like methodical. He teaches basically the same class every Friday. So like my body can just do its thing while my brain goes off and does what it needs. Mm-hmm. And he always speaks to some like profound something or other that I'm like, where's the story about your grandpa going? And then I start tearing up, and then we start our class. And then, you know, by the time we're in Shavasana, I'm like, ah, life is good. Let's go. Yeah, and that's, it's F-Y-A Friday. That's why my podcasts go out on Friday. And he even says to the class now, like, see you guys, happy F-Y-A Friday. Like he's always like, listen to Jess's podcast, you know, because
love that
brand loyalty. I stick with him. He hypes me. It's just like,
yeah,
you know, your people.
I'd say for me personally, it's my chats with God. So mm-hmm. I talk it out loud very much. And then the other thing that we've actually, Nick and I have taken from David Guillaume, is making decisions from our perfected self. Mm. And so like if we were perfect and just make decisions from our perfected self, what would that look like? How would I show up? Yeah. It changes the game and every single decision. I don't know what the other day he was going through, and I was like, he's like, nope. Oh, this is what it was, because he's an entrepreneur too, and he's been thinking about getting a Tesla to save some money, because he was like, oh, if I could get a Tesla, it would be $300 a month, we could sell my car, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, nope, if I was my perfected self, I would keep my Honda, I love my car, and I would not get the Tesla.
Hmm. And done and done.
Done yeah. and done. And it's just like, well, if he made decisions from those places, it kind of shifts everything, versus like that decision, if he would have made that decision, I don't think he minds this, it was coming from a place of like scarcity, anxiety, what are the things can I do? What are these things? And I think we can kind of get to that place of like, okay, if I make it for my perfected, most grounded self, what would be the decision that I would like to make?
And, yeah. and then make that. So simple.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We just love to overcomplicate stuff.
Yeah.
So simple.
Yeah. I think for me, getting quiet for sure. And I also try to bring myself back to the present moment, because in the present moment, there is nothing wrong. There's nothing to change. There's nothing to fix. Mm-hmm. And I think my ultimate goal is to try to come from a detached place, like a healthy detached place of like, if I pull my emotions out of this, what's the real story, you know? And I just see life as a game, and I trust that what's for me will come to me. And I just really try. I mean, I'm a Pisces moon, so I'm just like, we go with the flow. Like it always works out. And I think, you know, I'm going to be 39, and I think I've come to the place in my life where everything has led me to where I am. And the more I trust, the more it always works out. And it's only my perception or like my reaction that creates more anxiety or more intensity. And I'm not perfect. Like, I definitely get into the anxiety, but I try really hard to be like, is this worth your anxiety right now? Or is there anything you can change in this moment? Usually it's your mind or your perspective, but I just try to come, I guess, from that inquisitive place of like, why do I want this? Or why is this giving me anxiety? Or why is this making me feel like I don't deserve this, or this isn't for me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I get in the should've, could've loop a lot. And I play back scenarios or things pop into my mind of like, well, if that hadn't happened, then I wouldn't be in this situation. And I've learned to not fight that and not get so upset. Like I let myself get upset, mm-hmm. and I'll let myself feel the feel of like what I wish was different. And then I'm like, cool. Now what are you going to do about it? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? Get up, get dressed, go take a shower, and keep it moving. And that happened yesterday, and I spoke about it on my stories a little bit, and I'm like, I laughed as I was telling the story on my stories, because I was like, I had to go take an energetic cleansing shower, you know, and shower.
I love a good shower. Yes.
Yeah.
Same. Reset.
Yeah. My girlfriend, Britt Carmichael, she is all about energetic cleansing, and we've had a call, and she's like, just imagine the water being dark, and it just rinses off of you, and it's clear, when you're done, you can get out. And it's just like this visualization process that is so easy to do. And yeah, I think putting on my hair and makeup and getting ready for the day with a cute outfit always helps too, because that is me. And I think when I am like dressed as my highest self, my perfect self, as you put it, like, then I'm like, nothing matters. Everything's fine.
Also, the message I think we've both been receiving lately, or I've been receiving a lot, is this idea of like, what am I going to care about when I'm 90 and I'm in my old age? Am I going to care that I made this amount of money or that I did this? Or am I going to care about the relationships I built, the people I impacted, the friendships I had? I keep trying to come back to that perspective, because even though I have high goals and I have things I want to achieve in my life, I think at the end, like, none of that's going to matter. I saw this quote that said, like, you come in with nothing and you leave with nothing. So you better build something soulful in between, because that's all we really have. And I think the more I bring myself back to that, the more I realize like, oh, I'm creating all of this noise for no reason. Like, that's not important. Like, what's important is the relationship with your child and your partner and like the experiences, yeah, and the impact that you're making.
But we are all still having a human experience. So if some of you want to throw a tantrum every once in a while, I did not hear her say you cannot.
Yeah,
like,
no.
I think full permission. That is, in full fairness, especially if you have children or if you're in a relationship, like, not every day is going to work out. You may be in a car accident. Maybe something happens to your kid. Like, they break their leg, like my kid did, like, right before seventh grade ended. I mean, things can rock your world where 100%. You literally do want to throw a tantrum. And you're like, why is this happening to me? And you lose faith in the moment. Yes. And you think, why, God, is this happening? But generally, looking back, I swear, everything that's happened,
it's for you.
It's for you. Like, my son breaking his leg, he was just hitting those teenage years where it was like, leave me alone, goes in his room, shutting the door. We were very, like, not as close as we used to. And once he broke his leg, I was like, oh, who has to help you shower now? Who needs their mommy again? It was like the biggest blessing for me. And we got so close because for like 2.5 months, he could not do anything on his own.
Yeah.
And we have rebuilt this beautiful relationship, and it is, I wouldn't change it for anything.
So beautiful.
But in the moment, it was like the most painful thing to watch your kid. Then it hindered my work and all of the things we were doing. Caused a lot of between me and his dad. And it just was like awful for a little while until it became beautiful. And now here we are.
Yeah, it's a constant practice. Like, I forgot all my supplements coming here. And I like pretty much teared up in the car because I take progesterone. Like, that shit is necessary. Okay. Like, I was like, no.
I got you, girl.
Yeah, she got my back. But anyways, like, I'm not, by no means, like, I'm constantly telling this to myself. I just think like having that as a backup is really helpful. But absolutely, like, I cried in the car.
Fully expressed, be the messiest part of you.
Literally. Yes.
But I think what's happening when what you guys are both talking about, there is the optimism, the hope, the vision, and then there's a part of you that's actually feeling. And so it's like, how do you hold both? Like, I'm mad, I am frustrated, this is happening, and I also trust that this is good and that God sent me this because I can actually handle it. And so what does that actually look like? And so it's the duality, which we talk about so much on the show, and like that entirely is, I think, the version of being fully expressed. It's the vision, it's the holding, it's the expressing, it's the anger, the frustration, so that we can continue moving on. And honestly, I think we're so glad we're talking about this, because one of the biggest lessons I've been having is like, it doesn't get to be perfect all the time. It's just me learning to adapt and be flexible with life and keep moving on, and it's going to be okay.
And realizing that your idea in your mind of perfection is actually sometimes the exact messy situation you need to be in. And even though it doesn't seemingly look perfect, a lot of times you're like, this is actually perfect.
Literally.
Something TikTok has shown me too is like, people like the messy because no one wants to see perfect.
Right?
Like, Instagram is the perfect. It's changing, but Instagram is
they're always trying to change.
Yeah, they're trying to be TikTok, but like, they're just like, oh, everything's pristine, and like, I'm putting on this image. And in TikTok, people are just like laying in bed, double chin, like telling a story. I love that about it. It's like, oh,
well, who's the
and
girl,
I love those videos.
Who's the woman that's just like, I don't give a fuck. The girl, the one that Maurice is in her 40s and she's perimenopause. And she's
She created the perimenopause. She was like, I don't give a shit perimenopause group or whatever. And she's just like, here's the shit I don't care about anymore.
I think my client sent me her stuff. It is hilarious.
And she's so funny.
So many people have messaged me recently because they see my rambles on stories and they're like, nobody was watching these. You need to go to TikTok.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
you do. Absolutely. You have the perfect personality for TikTok.
You can just talk and have a great time. You'll do great.
She's like, people, you can just sit in their car. They're just sitting there doing their makeup. They're sitting there eating double, like all of the things.
No, nobody cares, and I love it. Like, I'm here for it.
She was even like, you take your Instagram filter off. Stop using that filter. Like, just be you. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I'm like, do they let people my age on TikTok? I call it the TikTok. They're going to ban me.
No, there's so many women in our age range on TikTok that are just blowing up.
Watch out, TikTok. I'm coming
because also
for you.
You
will be fine.
First of all,
you will be great.
Yeah.
You will do magnificent.
40 is the new 30, let's be honest. Okay. And also, like, I think that there are so many young girls looking for help, looking for advice, looking for what to look towards. I was, you know, thinking about when I was 16 or 17, like 30 sounded so old. So, you know, now I'm past that and I'm like, oh, we're so young still. And
my
I think
40 friends.
Yeah, we need like 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds. We need more women on here with their because that's the confidence that you come with that
well,
you build
I
as
am.
You go.
Yeah, almost exactly. 45.
No, you'd be amazing on TikTok for sure.
I do want to ask you a question as we start to wrap up. We ask everyone this. So where in your life right now, just on your story or whatever you're feeling called to, where do you feel called to be more fully expressed?
Ooh. The podcast has gotten a little spicier. I'm doing a full rebrand. I invested a lot of money in a new mentor, and we are doing like a full rebrand with everything. I've never gone all in with branding, and so we have a shoot scheduled next month. And so I'm curious what will come out of that and how I will feel being in the energy of her, because she's someone who's fully expressed, I think, herself. It's a mentor of mine. And so that was my latest leap into how can I have somebody push me to my edges so that I can be fully seen and potentially fully expressed? So that's why we're rebranding the podcast. She was like, you got to retire Unscripted. And I was like, but it's so me. And she's like, I know, but you're evolving. And like, we want the brand to last another 5 or 10 years. And so,
so you're thinking a name change and
everything. Name change. Yeah. Wow. Just being called Scene.
Oh, I want to know.
Scene?
Oh, Scene.
Oh, I love that.
So it's all about visibility, being seen, allowing people to see you. And it's really where I help people with in the podcast space, because a lot of people want to hide behind the microphone. So yeah, you might be the world's best podcaster, but nobody knows you exist because you won't market yourself. You won't show up. You won't talk about the episodes. And so it's like really helping people like get out there so that they can be found, especially us projectors who like to hide too and think we just are going to get invited by not putting ourselves out there.
Yeah.
So that's where I think we'll see what that really looks like.
I think that's so perfect in this timing, because one, I mean, we've really kind of landed with social media. It's like helping our podcast grow, but there is like a lot of podcasters that I run into. They're like, well, how do you get it past like my two people that follow me or that are listening beyond family? And I'm like, well, are you talking about it? Are you getting it out there? Like, podcasting has completely changed in this space. Like, when I went to this one podcast conference that I just talked about, it was so easy because it was word of mouth. It was like, I listened to this one episode. You should listen to it. You should listen to it. But social media and just either just talking about it, it's not spreading wide enough, fast enough, and other things are getting in the way. So I think that, and then also with the ChatGPTs, the AIs, like we need more people being more their most authentic selves, and we need them putting themselves out there more. Yeah. They need to be sharing their words. They need to be saying the things that they want to say the way that they want to say them. And even more, because it's going to get to this place, especially with like ChatGPT and the AIs and the people who are reading. Some people read their podcast and like, just be you on the show, because we're going to get like, this is all going to be the end up. We're all going to end up looking the same.
Yeah.
And we're going to need people that are going to be themselves in that. So it's like perfect timing.
Yeah.
Because the more that someone can get comfortable in becoming more seen, becoming more visible, and not necessarily being the performer, but just being you.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for you.
Yeah.
But I have a little takeaway for anybody who's like, I think I want to start a podcast, but I'm not quite ready for like the video production. And I think it's scary to sometimes turn the camera on, even if you're at home using like the easy software that there is. You can record your podcast with no video, so it's just audio. If you feel like you really do want to read off of a script because you can't land the plane, or if you're someone who is teaching something of value, I would take the time to script it out on ChatGPT. Using your own prompts, edit it, make it your own, put your own verbiage in there. Any content that you've ever created, throw it in chat so it knows how you talk. Talk to it as if you would talk to a friend, and then create other assets of you talking in short form for YouTube Shorts and then also TikTok. Those will promote people to then go listen to the episode. So we used to do it backwards, where you would record your whole podcast episode, you'd send it to an editor, or you'd dig through the whole hour and you'd hope you could find a clip that would like land the plane to get someone to go listen to the episode. Now, if that's not where you feel the most comfortable, record the episode in your closet in the dark, totally fine. Good audio is key. Get that out there. Good show notes, stuff them with keywords. Figure out your title first before you record. If you can somehow pepper that into the podcast episode, that'll help you be found with SEO. Then create the separate, like, one time a month, or even just get on your phone and talk about what that show is about, who it's for, and why they need to listen in like 30 seconds to a minute, and post that on Shorts with a quick little fun edit, and then throw that on YouTube. So then it drives traffic because you want people to find you. It doesn't matter how they're finding you, but they need to know you have a podcast. What's the call to action? Go listen to my show. It's about X, Y, and Z. You need this because, hey guys, did you know? Like, things like that will get people to see your stuff, even if it's you guessed it on a podcast and you don't have your own show, but you want to drive traffic to that because your offer's there or something is there. You can do that on your own, create little shorts, and then there you go. Send it over.
I've been interviewed on this one show once that he did this. We did the whole interview together. And at the end, he asked me like, what are the three questions that I can answer? And we just did these quick, short answers. And then he used that as a way to promote the episode.
Brilliant.
Yeah, instead of taking the actual clip from the podcast
right.
and trying to find the time.
Because usually we're more long-winded with our answers, so it's harder to like throw find it on the clip.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and camera work takes time.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I actually encourage a lot of people to go to TikTok, because there are no rules. You don't have to be perfect. You can record literally anywhere. And the more you talk to the camera, the easier it gets.
Yes.
And it's practice, you guys.
Yeah.
Just got to do it.
Yeah.
Get your reps in. It's not going to be perfect. Like, I mean, so many of us in entrepreneurship or ourselves, like, I just saw a video the other day of, like, me, my first, when I launched my first coaching business in 2019, and I was like, who is she? What is she doing? I was like, why did she get up? I didn't do my hair. I was like, what is going on? And I looked back at that. I was like, babe, I was going through my storage in my Google Drive, and I was like, what is all this shit? I got to get this stuff out. And I was like, oh, this is what that is. I haven't seen this in years.
My son and I were laying in bed, and in his bed, and he was watching YouTube. And I said, Google me. Find my podcast. And so he looked up my name. And so the old podcast stuff came up. And he's like, that doesn't even look like you. My own kid said, that doesn't even look like you. Like, I look like a different person from 5-6 years ago. My hair was longer. I just was a younger version. And even the way I was
sitting and talking. You're embodying different energy.
Everything. And I'm like, it doesn't really look like me. That's crazy. And of course, I just leave all that up there because I now coach that stuff. So I want to encourage people like, hey, if you want to see something messy, go look at my story. My trailer is like 20 minutes long. It's supposed to be like 2 minutes. Like, it's so funny. Like, all the things I didn't know. And so
I didn't know either. I think my trailer was like 12, 13 minutes. And then when I brought her on, she's like, so a trailer's like this.
And the cool thing is you can go back and change anything.
Yeah, we've changed our stuff all the time.
Change your name, your cover, your description, all of it.
Yeah.
I'd say one thing as we end, like the thing that keeps me continuing to become more visible is holding the vision of the person I'm going to become by going through the motions. Yeah. Because like I think like you just talked about who you were 5 years ago and look at who you are now. Like, it's so exciting. I'm like, I don't know who she's going to look like. I don't know how she's going to be. But I'm so excited to meet her.
Yeah.
And so whenever I show up on Instagram, I'm like, look, if I don't do this, like, I'm not going to find her. So I want to meet her. I want to, like, see who she is. And then, of course, there's going to be, like, a new version of me and a new version of me. But I just hold on to that every single time that I'm like, I don't want to get on the camera. Well, then I'm not going to meet her. I want to go meet her. Mm-hmm. In this lifetime, I would love to meet her.
Yeah.
And that's, like, the most exciting thing. And as I think about it, I get excited to meet her. So just using that as a way to anchor you to do the things that you don't want to be doing has been really helpful too.
And you guys will have fun as you bring guests back on the show year after year, especially people you love as they grow, and like having like even more depthful conversations. Like, it's been really fun for me to have like Chris back on. He came on my 100th episode.
Oh, it's awesome.
And then, you know, my 200th episode. Like, it's just like, who are these versions of them and you, and like you as a, just all, having a human experience. It's just the coolest thing.
I love that so much.
Well, thank you.
You guys are awesome.
This has been amazing.
I'm so jealous I don't have a co-host. Anybody looking for a co-host, call me. I need a manifesting generator, though, probably, too.
Yeah.
Because I have a projector. Lucky. Yes.
I have a lot of energy. It's true.
But thank you so much. I'm so excited. I knew today was going to be so good just because we both knew exactly what you're stepping into. And I just love that you're becoming more visible, more seen in your story. The whole journey just kind of is so necessary to talk about because it's so easy to be like, well, look at Jessica now.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
But do you see what I just went through the last 10, 15 years? Like, or 20 or whatever? Like, no one sees that. And it's so important just when you, especially because a lot of our listeners are either like early entrepreneurs or they've been entrepreneurs and they're just craving to become more of themselves. And it's like, no, we're going to be shedding layers for years. So buck up and sign up because we're in it.
Seriously. One last thing. I had a flashback the other day. I got invited to speak at a beauty school. And I went to beauty school in 1999, just so you guys know, it is 2025. I sat in front of these girls and just kind of poured my heart out and shared part of my story. And I couldn't tell if it was landing for some of them. Some of them, like, did they have to be there? It was like such a weird energy exchange. But at the end, I did get good feedback from my friend who works there. But after I left that drive home, I was like, wow, we have come so far. It was the most interesting. There was a little bit of depression, a little bit of like high. Like, it was, I was all the way up and down on my 30-minute drive home. And I was like, I would have never known this version of me had I not said yes randomly to beauty school. And then all of the people I've met, all of the paths I've gotten to walk down, has it been easy? No. But like you said, I wouldn't have gotten to meet her. And it's just so cool.
Yeah. And guess who you get to meet next?
I know. That's the exciting part. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
Before we go, we want to remind you that you are powerful and deserving of fully expressing who you are. Embracing your journey toward authenticity is a vital part of that process, and we're grateful to be alongside you. If you're looking to dive deeper and connect with others who celebrate their true selves, we invite you to join our community. It's a virtual space for connection and accountability where you can share experiences and grow together. You can find the link in our bio. We can't wait to welcome you.
See you on the next one.